Some of you already know this, but Stacy and I consider ourselves to be total foodies. Now, we haven't always been this way. In fact, we were reminiscing not too long ago that when we first started dating, our fancy treat meal was Red Lobster. And I'm certainly not disparaging that chain. In fact, we still try to go a couple times a year. But we've been really blessed the last 15 years or so to have enjoyed some incredible meals. One recent one was at a Michelin-starred joint in Chicago, and the chef made things taste like nothing they looked. It was a total surprise. He created flavors and textures that had never existed before. And he did something completely miraculous, which was to make me enjoy mushrooms. This was an impossible meal, yet it really happened. We heard another story, kinda sorta like that, except this meal was literally miraculous. Thousands of people were fed with just 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And there was so much left over at the end that they finished with more than they started with. It's a story most of us probably know pretty well. It's told so vividly that you could imagine being there. But this story is more than Jesus just being pragmatic or even sentimental. Here's the deal. We're starting a little summer detour through John's gospel, like we do every third year, really because Mark just isn't long enough to fill all the Sundays of year B. And John is kind of stingy in the miracles department. He only tells us about 7 of them. And that's weird. I mean, it's half as many as Mark, which is far shorter, and only about a third of the ones told by Matthew and Luke. John clearly knew about all the other stuff. He tells us at the end that he actually chose to leave things out. And that makes me wonder why. Why not tell all of these cool stories? Buried in today's reading is the reason why, I think, or at least part of the reason. John never actually calls them miracles, not once. The other writers do. For them, these mighty works are the inauguration of God's kingdom on the earth, their divine power breaking loose through Jesus. But John doesn't have miracles. John has signs. And we got 2 of the 7, actually, in our reading today. The next logical question is, of course, signs of what? Well, they are clearly signs of who Jesus is. So for John, we're not meant to just marvel at how the impossible became real. We're supposed to learn something about the identity and power of Jesus, or several somethings, actually, because these stories are packed, just packed with meaning. For example, John mentions that the Passover was coming up when the feeding and the equally miraculous walking on water thing takes place. That's not a coincidence, and it's not just good storytelling. The Passover commemorated the Exodus, when God's people Israel were able to flee from their captivity in Egypt. Moses, at the time, parted the Red Sea, right, so the people could walk through it. Jesus walked on water to show he was greater yet. Moses asked in the wilderness, "Where am I to get meat to give all these people?" And Jesus asked, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Moses met God at the burning bush and was given the divine name. Do you remember it? I am. Jesus calms the disciples by, for what some reason, I don't even understand it, our translators say is, "It is I." No, it's very clearly in Greek, "I am." John is sharing these signs with us because he wants to prove at least 3 things. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Messiah. And this is the beginning of a new Exodus. There's one big difference this time. Something I never noticed, actually, until it was pointed out to me very recently. When the Israelites ate their manna in the wilderness, they tried to store some of it up for later, and it just rotted away. But here, with Jesus, there were leftovers in abundance. The bread that Jesus provided was meant to last forever. Yet, the text tells us that Jesus was not the kind of Messiah who cared about status. He never wanted to be a king. That wasn't why he came. He came to free his people. He came to feed his people. If you'll let me use that quaint southern phrase, he came to love on his people. So yes, these are stories about miracles. They are stories about bread. They're stories about power over nature. But they are far more than that. See, these are stories about the very character and being of God. They are reminders that we have a God who works in the world and whose abundance will never fade away. A God who came out of love for humankind. A God who loves you. So do not ever be afraid. Amen.